Good morning, everybody. So we're continuing here at Tefillas Kelim. We spent a while on Tefillas Kelim because it's very lemaisa and there's a lot to say. So we were discussing chad pa'ami kind of things, right? I think we were discussing disposable kelim. So let's discuss disposable kelim that you use more than once. Meaning, we discussed a little bit about the coffee jar or the sample bottle or something like that. What if you use something more than once? You have like an aluminum pan that you want to use multiple times. So does it require tevila? So or like a Snapple bottle that you want to reuse. So Rav Moshe's mekel, but he distinguishes between aluminum trays and coffee jars, like aluminum pans and coffee jars. In Yoredei Chel Gimel Simchav Gimel, Rav Moshe quotes from Rambam, who says that kelim that are made from pumpkins are not mekabel tumah, because they're not considered a kli, because they don't last a long time. Meaning they degenerate over time. You use them a few times and it starts falling apart because it's made of a pumpkin shell. So Moshe says a kli, even if it's made from metal or aluminum, if it can only really be used a couple of times and then it just falls apart, so that's what he calls choslos. It does not have a shame kli, and therefore would not require tevila. People often misquote Ramosha. They think Ramosha held that you can only use it once. It's not really what he said. Ramosha held that if the kli slowly gets ruined through using it, you don't have to tovel it, even if you use it several times, because it doesn't have a shame kli. Of course, if you rely on this, then you're assuming that disposable cups cannot be used for kiddush either. Meaning, you're assuming that you have to go to chumrah also. You know, Ramosha is a kula, but it's also a chumrah. It's a kula that doesn't have a shame kli for tevilas kelim, but it's a chumrah also that if it doesn't have a shame kli, then you shouldn't be allowed to use it for netilas yidayim. You shouldn't be allowed to use it for kiddush either. So, like, if you have glass bottles that could be used many times over, then Ramesh's kula wouldn't apply. I mean, you have a Snapple bottle, nothing happens to it. I'm talking the old Snapple bottles. I don't know if they still make the glass ones at all, but you know, if they have the old glass Snapple bottles, nothing will happen to it, no matter how many times you use it. The only reason we throw it out is because we're so very wealthy that we can afford to throw out perfectly good Snapple bottles. Perfectly good glass bottles. So Rav Moshe gives another reason to be mekel, though, because that svara doesn't work for the Snapple bottles. Rav Moshe, in Yoredei Chel Beisim Mem, says a svara we mentioned earlier, that the non-Jew is only interested in selling you the contents of the jar, and not the actual jar itself. The bottling is just a delivery system for the contents. It's the only way to deliver the contents in a safe way. So the bottle is bottled to the contents inside of it, and therefore it's as if he just sold you the contents of the bottle without selling you the bottle, so you never really took ownership of the bottle. But the price of the coffee or the Snapple doesn't drop if you buy the coffee without the jar or the Snapple without the bottle. So since the bottle is bottled to the food, only when you decide to reuse it for a different purpose does it become a kli, and at that point it's a Jew who's making it into a kli. So it wasn't a kli beforehand, but you're making it into a kli. It's a little bit difficult to understand, meaning you're not really making it into a kli, you're acquiring it as a kli. It was a kli. I mean, the Snapple bottle was a kli. To say that it's bottled to the food might be a stretch, because it could be that the guy is willing to give you a kli because he wants you to buy the food that badly, but it's hard to say that it's not a kli b'chlal. I mean, when you have something that's mamish a perfectly good, viable kli, meaning, what I'm saying is, Ramesh has two different svaras. One for the aluminum pans, one for the Snapple bottles or coffee jars. The aluminum pans svara, I hear. You're going to tell me that a kli that falls apart with use is not going to have a shame kli. Okay, a chiddush, but okay, meaning based on like the pumpkin shell. So aluminum pan also falls apart over the course of time. So I understand, a plastic cup falls apart over the course of time. That's not a shame kli. But the chiddush that he has in Yoredei Chel Beisim Mem about the coffee jar is a much greater chiddush, I think, to say the guy is not really selling you the glass jar. He's selling you the contents of the glass jar, and therefore the glass jar is totally bottled to its contents. The glass jar has no significance on its own. And since it has no significance on its own, it doesn't require tevila. And then when you decide that you want to use it again, you're granting it significance, and that's ki'ilu, you're fashioning the kli, and therefore it's not going to require tevila. A little bit difficult. Rav Shechter obviously famously said that you should tovel the kli before using it. If you want to reuse a Snapple bottle, you should tovel it. He thought by the aluminum pens also, that even before the first use, you should tovel the aluminum pens. The shaila is the first use of the Snapple bottle. Are you allowed to drink out of the Snapple bottle, right? So I remember when I was in yeshiva, It used to be a thing that you go to the bodega. Is there still a bodega across from MTA? There used to be like a little bodega there, a little makolet, where they sold food and drugs and whatever. You'd go to the bodega over there. It was a shtick. You'd go in and say, MTA kids would come in and like take like beef jerky and say, "Is this kosher?" Everything in bodega kosher. So it wasn't. If you go to the bodega, it was yadua that if you ask for a Snapple and a plastic cup, it meant you were a Talmud of Rav Shechter. If you ask for just a Snapple, then you were just a regular person. So because Rav Shechter held that even the first time drinking out of the Snapple bottle was problematic because you're using the kli. It's similar to Ramesh has a tshuva where he talks about what do you do if you're at someone's house and they're serving you food and they don't tovel the kli. So Moshe says, no problem, just empty all the food off of the plate and then they eat like that. So Moshe says, maybe you don't have to do that because the plate's not really doing anything. Meaning, it's just keeping it from being a mess. Like you have chicken nuggets on the plate. So the plate's not really helping contain the chicken nuggets in any way. Chicken nuggets would be just as good on the table. It's just would make a mess on the table. So he says, they're not really using the cleat. But soup, he says, is a problem. Right? What are you going to do? You can't. You really need the soup bowl. So if you have a glass soup bowl, right now if it's China, let's say you have a glass soup bowl or a metal soup bowl, seems like a fabulously bad idea, like extremely bad. But let's say you have a metal soup bowl, so then or a glass soup bowl, I guess more commonly, if you have a glass soup bowl, so Ramosha says that that then you can't eat out of it. So is that so true? Is that so obvious that you can't eat out of it? The halacha is you have to empty it, like we spoke about with the coffee jars. Maybe emptying it doesn't mean that you have to empty it all at once. Emptying it by emptying it slowly into my mouth, one spoon after the other, I'm gonna empty it. Assuming the spoon is tovel, or I'm using a plastic spoon or something. So over here also, when it comes to the Snapple bottle, Rav Shechter thought like Ramesha, that drinking out of it is called using it, even though you didn't put the food into it. You're just emptying the food out of it, but you're drinking out of it. So you got to empty it out into a plastic cup and drink out of the plastic cup. That's Rav Shechter held. But you could hear such a svara to say that bishlam, if you want to reuse the Snapple bottle, okay, so then you got to title it, because then you're using it as a klei suda. But to use it the first time, is just your way of emptying it.
How can Moshe argue that using a plate it's not like using a plate? I mean, isn't that the whole function of a plate, to make sure that it doesn't get on the table?
Yeah, it's an interesting svara that he has, that it doesn't really do anything, so you're not really using it. Meaning that's the balabatim, or using the plate so you don't mess up that table. But you don't really care about the plate, you'd be perfectly happy to eat off of the tablecloth.
That's like the function of the plate itself.
Yeah, I don't know. And would you really be perfectly happy to eat off of the tablecloth? I don't know. That's a hard one. I think Ramesh says by the fork, right? The plate's not so much a problem. So the fork, you would be perfectly happy eating with your fingers. It's just etiquette. But a spoon, it's really practical. Meaning you can't eat soup with your hands. You need to, you actually need the spoon to help you eat the soup. He says like that. I think I have to look up the tshuva again. But that's when it comes to the Snapple bottle. This used to be the Snapple bottle. Shaila Snapple like ruined Torah here by changing to plastic. Like now we have to come up with a better example of a glass bottle that people commonly drink out of the first time. Good example, a beer bottle. I don't drink beer. I'm not a big beer drinker, but I guess beer doesn't come in plastic now. It still comes in glass. There was a Rebbe in DRS who used to, he was a beer drinker, and he would say, that beer in plastic is indecent. You can't have beer in plastic, I don't know. But, okay, so, we're free. There's actually another Rebbe in DRS. Oh, I sent you the paper. Rabbi Kivi Nyman is a big beer expert. He actually caught in some of those stores. They have these fancy beers. And some of them actually have kashrus problems that we were totally unaware of, that people in the kashrus industry were unaware of. So moving on to Se'if, we're going to skip Se'if Gimel for right now. We'll come back to it. Se'if Dalet through Vav. Se'if Dalet through Vav has like three rules for Tfilas Kelim that are not so well known, but are like kind of important and come up l'maisa. So first Se'if Dalet. What happens if the kli doesn't touch the food? So the Gemara Dafayin hein avod zara. Maskar of sheshes yachy afilu zuzi d'sarva lenami. Amalei klei suuda amur b'parsha. Scissors that cut wool clothing are not obligated in tevila. However, klei suuda are obligated in tevila. So it comes along the Shulchan Aruch and sees if dalid tripdish sheshov simaleim kedera inam tunas tevila. Aval palidiyash tunas tevila neshanos naleim machal atzmo. A tripod or a grate, meaning the best example of the grates on the stovetop that you put the pots down on, don't require tefillah because the food doesn't come in contact with the grate on the stovetop. But the grate on your barbecue does require tefillah because the food goes directly onto the barbecue. Why would that make a difference? So the Chasam Sofer in his Hagos to Yerodea over here has an interesting ha'ara to explain this that might have nafkaminas la'alacha, might have nafkaminas la'alacha, but he explains it as follows, that how do I know tevilas kelim? From the word, from the psukim by hagalas klei midyan. By hagala, it's only if it's nosin tam into the kli. The food is only going to be nosin tam into the kli if the food comes in contact with the kli. If the food never comes in contact with the kli, a kli doesn't give tam to another kli, b'li rotav. Right, so the grates on your stovetop are not baleya any tam. So if it's not baleya any tam, it's not going to be included in tevilas kelim, because tevilas kelim is the other side of the coin of hagalas kelim. The two are connected. Tevila and hagala are connected. So just like blios are only an issue if the food touches the kli, so too tevila only applies when it touches the kli. Prichadash explains that even if you only sometimes, but don't usually, use that grate for food, it does not require tevila. Meaning, let's say every once in a while, my oven racks, normally I put a 9x13 pan on the oven rack and the potato kugel is in the pan, or the chicken is in the pan. But every once in a while, I'll take a potato and just put it down on the oven rack directly. So if it's only every once in a while, it doesn't require tevila. This is chaps a big nafkamina for the glass plate in a microwave. Do you need to tovel? Some microwaves have that glass plate that goes around and around, right? So do you need to tovel that glass plate in the microwave? So pashtus is not, because normally the way you use it is that you put a paper plate with food on it on top of the glass plate. You don't put food directly on the glass plate. Oh, but sometimes, you'll have like a something that you might put down directly, let's say a potato that you want to do a baked potato in the microwave. I don't know if anyone does that anymore. I remember when we first got our microwave in the 1980s in my parents' house, so my brother was baking potatoes in the microwave all night. So I don't think I've seen a person do a baked potato in the microwave since, but that's the reason that's stuck in my mind. He thought it was such a great thing that in 5 minutes he can make a baked potato. Never ate a baked potato before then, never ate a baked potato after then, but that was like a big deal. So sometimes you'll put something directly on the plate. You have like a cinnamon bun or something like that. So although that seems a little gross to put it down directly, but whatever. Sometimes you'll have something that you'll put down directly on the plate. So it's only sometimes that Prichadish says that's going to be like the tripod. It's not going to be like the grate. The Darkei Tshuva also says the same thing, that it's based on Ikar Tashmish. That's the Ikar Tashmish is the Koveya, Darkei Tshuva writes. One might argue, well, wait a second, in the microwave, I put things on a plate, but not a real plate. I put things on a paper plate, and a paper plate's not a kli, so there's no hefsek kli. I am putting things directly. Right? There's no hefsek kli. So obviously that's not a really good point, because if you say like the Chasam Sofer, you understand the point is that there are no blios. So I don't care if I'm putting on a paper plate or I'm putting on... It's not about the kli, the shame kli, that if there's no... It's not that there's another kli that's being mafsik. The point is that there's something being mafsik, that the blios aren't going through. A can opener does not require tevila, right? Because it doesn't come in direct contact with the food. Refrigerator racks. Anyone ever tovel their refrigerator? Right? The refrigerator racks don't require tevila. The shelves in your refrigerator don't require tevila. Why? Because the Ikar Tashmisho, even though sometimes maybe you will put something directly, but the Ikar Tashmisho, the refrigerator shelves, assuming it's not plastic, the Ikar Tashmisho, the refrigerator shelves, is to have with kelim. Post can point out, what about the produce drawers in the refrigerator? Let's say you have metal drawers or glass, and it's not plastic, and you just put apples and oranges, whatever, you put fruit in there, so that l'chora should require tefillah, because it's made to be in direct contact with the fruit or vegetables. Why shouldn't it require tefillah? Pashtus is that it should require tefillah. I think most of the time it's plastic, though, so you know that's why it's not nogeya. But if you're machmir, like you know, it's so the Kaposkim that are machmir about plastic, then that would come out to be quite a chumra in terms of modern-day refrigerators. Now, this idea that kelim that are used, meaning the mechaber over here is mechaber between the tripod, sheshovsman and kedera, versus the barbecue grates where you put the meichel atzmo. So what if you have a dish that you always just have like a paper towel in between the dish, or like one of these doilies or something like that in between the dish and the food? So Shlomo Zalman is quoted in the Sefer, one of these contemporary svarim. It's in Mincha Shlomo. Mincha Shlomo Chel Beis Simen Samach Vav Os Hey, that if you use a kli with a hefsik of some sort of bag or plastic or something like that, then it does not require tefillah. But if it's a piece of paper, then it does require tefillah with a bracha. He says chatzitzas niyar is lav klumu talin tefillah bebracha. Sometimes someone will have a candy dish or something like that, or some sort of dish they want to serve cake, and they realize they didn't tovel the glass dish yet, so they just want to put down like a doily or something like that, some sort of paper thing on it. Oh, now I'm not using the kli because now there's a hefsek niyar, now there's paper in between. So Shlomo Zalman says it doesn't work. It's clearly batel to the kli. If you have baking paper or something, it's batel to the food. It's as if the food is put directly on the plate. Now, l'chaora, according to the Chasam Sofer, it would really depend, right? Meaning, sometimes you have that baking paper, you have that parchment paper, and you put down cake and cookies, and you pick it up, and there's still a little moisture on the plate, because it is porous. Whereas, if you take a piece of aluminum foil, it's not porous, and nothing's going through. So the Chora, according to that Chasam Sofer, it's not about it being batel to the kli. It's about whether there's any tam, whether the food is actually, you know, whether there's a chashash of blios. If you put it in the oven, would there be blios that go through? So it's interesting. Meaning, Rosh Shlomo Zalman seems to be working with the assumption, it's a long tshuva, but if you look over there, he seems to be working with the assumption that it's totally in having a separate shame kli. That if you have a separate shame kli on top of the grate, then that grate does not require tevila. But if you just, let's say, in your oven, you like to bake, you make the cauliflower things that everybody eats before Shabbos starts, because they're only good before Shabbos starts. So you put out a piece of foil, and you just, instead of putting it in a pan, you just put out a piece of foil on the grate, and you throw all the cauliflower on it with the whatever that yellow spice is that makes it all yellow, and some other spices, and you put it on the thing. So according to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, if that's what you use your oven for, bi'ikar, let's say that's all you knew how to make, so that's what you use your oven for, bi'ikar, then those grates would require tevilah, because it's just a hefsik niyar, a hefsik of aluminum foil is nothing, it's not a separate kli. Whereas if you put it in an aluminum pan, then that would be a hefsik kli. But according to some sofer, it's not totally in the kli. I mean, according to some zom, you hear the kasha about why a paper plate in a microwave shouldn't help. Because it's not a kli. So if it's not a kli, maybe you should say that it's considered batel to the food or to the plate that's underneath it. Pashto says the paper plate is a kli for that purpose, though. Now, if you have a food that's always eaten directly from its bag, you could put that bag in a non-tovel plate. Meaning, if you always eat from the bag, then just because you're making it fancy by having that bag inserted, let's say cereal, right? So you could serve cereal from a box that has a bag inside of it, right? So sometimes in our house, for example, we have these big plastic containers that sometimes we'll just take the plastic bag out of the, I don't know why we do this, doesn't make any sense. You take the plastic bag out of the cereal box and put it in that plastic container. I don't know what it accomplishes. But let's say that plastic container weren't plastic, or you held that plastic chayiv in tefillah. So, but I'm eating it out of the bag. I'm not eating it out of the plastic container. The container is holding the bag. So then, lechora, it would not require tefillah. So this is nogei in Eretz Yisrael by the milk bags. Let's say that, you know, they still have bags of milk in Eretz Yisrael. So if you have a milk bag in a metal kli that's only, and then that metal kli is only used for the milk bag, then l'chori you don't need to tovel because the milk is always used while in the bath. They never empty the milk into the metal kli. Or no, get more nogei to us. Your Pesach ka'ara. So you ever see anyone? I mean, I guess we don't have that much experience with any siddurim other than our own, right? But you ever see anybody actually put the food on the kara directly on the kara? No, it always goes in a glass. At least in my house, it always goes in a glass dish, and the glass dish is on the kara. So do you need to tovel the kara? Am I wrong about that? Does anyone have a practice of putting the food directly on the silver kara or whatever? No, okay. We're all in agreement. So the kara, the chara, does not require a tevila, even if it's made by a non-Jew. Which non-Jews are making. Meaning, it probably is made by a non-Jew, but under Jewish ownership. But you know, whatever. That's another story. We'll have to get to that also. Meaning, when you have these firm products that are made by Jewish companies, but they're all made in China. Right, they're all made by non-Jews, so like, to what extent does that help? Right? Let's say the aluminum pan sometimes, I will say, does not require tevila because it's made under Jewish ownership. So Belsky thought that was a joke. It's the same aluminum pans that they're making in that same factory in China with the same... So because a Jew does some sort of kinyan, like a Mechiras Chametz type of kinyan, you know, with the kinyan suder, so now I own the company, and now... He didn't think that whatever system they had in place, Rebelsky didn't think was a valid system. So Karashal Pasach, if it was made by a non-Jew, the chara does not require tevila because you put the charosis, the egg, the burnt wing, whatever it is, in a small glass bowl, and that's the way it's always used. The glass bowls obviously require tevila, assuming that they're used, meaning assuming you eat the stuff that's on the kara. Or another example of this would be the saucer under your kiddush cup. Meaning, when you have a saucer under a teacup, so first of all, it's cheres, so it probably doesn't require tevila. But if it were glass, it probably would, because you would put cake on it, you would put something else on it sometimes. But a saucer under a kiddush cup, what do you ever put on the saucer under a kiddush cup? It's just if there's a spill, so it'll catch the spill, so it won't go over onto the tablecloth. Right, so l'chara, that does not require tevila. Do people are people knowing to tovel that? If your kiddush cup is made by a Jewish company, so it's not a shayla. And if it's not made by a Jewish company, you're probably toveling the kiddush cup anyway, so you bring that along with you. But l'chara, it does not require tevila. So that's sivdalit, right? So sivdalit is the type of kli that's not meant to touch the food. Is not going to require tevila, but if it is meant to touch the food directly, then it will require tevila. A separate klal emerges from sif hei. Sif hei shulchan aruch paskins like the shitas of Mordechai that sakin shel shchita, o sakin shem of shitin bo, yesh mishamer she'enu tzarech tevila. But he doesn't quote another shita, even though he says yesh mishamer. It means it's just it's not spoken about by so many different rishonim. So sakin shel shchita, the shitas of Mordechai is that it does not require tevila. So it comes on shaks of cut and yud. And he says, "The love klay suda he, the hada veim chazi laachila mishum hachi lo chashuv klay suda." The fact that shchita is matir veim taachila for achila doesn't make it a klay suda. The zayin shricha bishul otzliya, because shechting doesn't make it mutal achila. It doesn't make it ready laachila. Shechting makes it mutal achila, but then you need to cook it, you need to roast it. So the knife is coming in direct contact with the food. It's not the same as sefdalit. The knife is coming in direct contact with the meat. But the food needs preparation after that step. It still needs to be cooked. So the knife is not considered klei suda, doesn't require tevila. So let's say if you have a butcher's knife, where the butcher is just using it to separate large pieces of meat, l'chora does not need tevila, because that's the same as sakin shel shchita, because it still needs to be cooked after it comes in contact with this knife. Tashbeitz argues in the Mordechai, and says the shchita knife does require tevila. That's what the Ramah quotes. V'yesh cholkin, in parentheses, Tashbeitz. And therefore, because yesh cholkin betovla tovla b'lo bracha, if you have a sakin shel shchita or a butcher knife or something like that, that when it comes in contact with the food, we're going to see that there are ramifications of this well beyond sakin shel shchita. There are much more nogei l'maisa in our kitchens. So if you have a type of kli that does come in direct contact with the food, so you don't have any hatter from sif dalid, but it only comes in contact with the food in a way where when it's done with the food is still not edible. So it's machlokas mechaber ramah. Mechaber says doesn't require tevila. The ramah says tevila without a bracha. Problem is a steer in the ramah. First, the Rama writes that Yesh Cholkim and Tovel Tovel Bara Bracha. You should be choshish for the opinion of Tashbates. Tovel the knife, but without a bracha to be choshish also for the opinion of the Mordechai. That's why you don't say a bracha. But then the Rama adds, Habarzelim Shemesakna Bema Matzos Einem Trichim Tvila. What's the Barzelim Shemesakna Bema Matzos? Right, the pokey things that make the holes in the top of the matzah. So they lay out the matzah and then they roll this thing with spikes on it that make the holes in the matzahs. So they do that before they bake the matzah. So it's a dough at the top. So the Rama writes, Enam Tzrichim Tevila. What should the Rama have said? Tevila below bracha. It's the same as Sakhan Shashrit. It's coming in direct contact with the food. It's just that the food is not ready to be eaten at that point. So those rollers that you roll over the matzah should at least require tefillah without a bracha, just like the shechita knife. So the Shach answers, V'nira, disvir le'laharav, da barzelim gari tfeg, she'i ef shalasham shal namachal acher, ma'sheinkin, sakh shal shechita shav shalasham shal namachal acher. It says a shechita knife is a perfectly good sharp knife, and you could use it as a steak knife also. And therefore, you should do tefillah without a bracha. But these pokey roller things, I guess we might as well use the Ramah's word, since these barzelim that you use for the matzah, you can't use for anything else. They have no other function other than to be used in a way where when you're finished using them, the food's still not ready. The food still can't be eaten. So since that's the only way you can use the food, you can use these kelim, it's not going to require tefillah at all. Shechita knife can be used for edible foods. You could use it to cut vegetables or any other food. So it's more like a klesuda, so tevila without a bracha. The rollers can't be used for anything else, and therefore you don't have to tovel them kol ikir. It's not super clear from the Shach whether the determining factor is whether it's shayach to use it for other things or whether it's actually used for other things. From the lashon of the Shach, it sounds like it's about whether. Well, what was your taina? Shaykh, right? The Lashon sounds like Z-F-Shar, it's not right about whether it's Shaykh to use fun things. That's what the Shach seems to be saying. The problem is that's not so logical, right? Because up until this point, like in Siftalud, where we were determining, okay, what comes in contact with the food, what doesn't come in contact with the food, Prichadash and Darkei Tshuva, they all said, not about what Shaykh to come in contact with the food, what's the Derech to come in contact with the food. Right? So why are we here when it comes to whether it's used with other food, should it just be if it's possible? Well, okay, I could use a lot of kelim that are not clay suda, possibly for clay suda. But if it's not the derech to use it for clay suda, so then it's not clay suda. So why does it become clay suda? Because it's possible to use a shechita knife. So it's difficult to understand. Right? Pashtus is the shach could have made the same chilek. I just don't know. It wouldn't be true of a shechita knife, right? Meaning he could have made the same chiluk and said that a shechita knife, it's easy to use to cut vegetables also. But no shochet in his right mind would ever use a shechita knife to cut vegetables. Muksamachas chasum kis. You don't use it for anything else because you're so careful about not having a pegima in the knife. But it's difficult to understand why whether it's shaykh. Anyone see any discussion on this? Well, why does shaykh think it's telling whether it's shaykh or not? The Taz disagrees, right? The Taz in Sivkot and Zion says, the Taz just says, nah, there's no chiluk. The Rama assumes that if you're reading the second line of the Rama, you read the first line of the Rama. So when he says in the first line to be tovel without a bracha, and then he adds that the rollers for the matzahs don't require tevila, he means because it's a shita, they don't require tevila, you should do tevila without a bracha. So what about like a the mixer metal mixer blade that mixes the dough for making challah? Have you seen one of those KitchenAid things, right? So it's got that blade and it mixes stuff around and it's metal. It has some sort of coating on it, but it's a bit icker, it's metal. So does that require tevila? So Jatina? If you're Sfardi. No, Sakhan Shal Shechita Eino Tzarech Tevila. If you're Ashkenazi, L'chaora, Tevila B'lo Bracha. Wait, Tevila B'lo Bracha, for sure, according to the Taz. What about according to the Shach? It would depend if it's Shaykh to use for anything else. It's not. right? It's not shaykh to use for anything else. It's not shaykh to use with ready made food to yum for anything in a mixture that's ready to be eaten. I mean, some of these people like, you know, but that's not the way it's, they snack out of it or whatever, but it's not really the way it's meant to be. So the chor, according to the shaykh, it would be like the barzeli, which do not require tevila at all. Whereas according to the Taz, it would require tevila without a bracha. So that would be lechara nafkamina. So you have those blades. The prima gadim pasuk is like the Taz. Prima gadim and arachayim in Tafnun and Aleph. The Mishpat says kadavah pasuk is like the Taz. Again, according to the Svardim, you don't need tevila. According to the Taz, you would need tevila without a bracha. There are two requirements for a kli to be obligated in tevila with a bracha. It has to come in contact with the food, as opposed to a grate on the stovetop. It doesn't come in contact with the food. That's sifdalit, and the food needs to be ready to eat after that contact with the kli. That's sifhei. And the Rama says that for tevila without a bracha, it doesn't need to be ready to eat. It just needs to be shayach to be used in such a way. So what about chicken scissors? Let's say chicken scissors that are used to cut raw chicken, but theoretically can be used to cut anything. So according to Sephardim, and this Haravad Yosef Paskins, you don't need to tovel them. But according to the Ashkenazim, you need to tovel them without a bracha, right? Because they're shaykh to be used for anything. However, the Aruch HaShulchan in Sukkot Lamed Vav writes, Misparayim shegozim bo yerek, yesham tzarech tefila v'yesham shein tzarech. That if you use the scissors on a consistent basis for food that's already cooked, or for food that's nechel chai, you cut cucumbers or something like that, or a peeler or something, so then it requires tevila with a bracha. There are shulchan pasuk against the Rama that if you're cutting raw food that still needs to be cooked, then it doesn't require tevila at all. He paskins like the mechaber, that if you have raw food that still needs cooking, even though it's something that could theoretically be used to cut other things, it doesn't require tevila at all, which is interesting that the Aruch HaShulchan would paskin that way. Swiss Army knife. What about Swiss Army knife? What do you think? Can you use it, you're a Boy Scout or whatever, and you want to use a Swiss Army knife. So you want to use it to cut your cucumbers or something, right? So do you need to tovel it? You want to use it to cut vegetables, you're on a camping trip. So on the one hand, the food is ready to eat right away. On the other hand, the kli isn't usually used in the preparation of food, so maybe it's not a kli suda. So Beis Yosef quotes from Agos Ashri that if a Jew buys a knife from a non-Jew with the intention to cut cloth, to cut paper with it, and not to use it for food, and then he lends that knife to another Jew who's going to use it for food, the second Jew doesn't need to tovel it because he only borrowed it, and the owner doesn't have to tovel it because he bought it for cutting cloth. Mashma. Let's say the first Jew wanted to use the knife for food. So even if the owner occasionally uses the knife for food, it could be that he does not need to tovel it, because if the owner is obligated to tovel it for occasional use, the Jew who borrows from him is also obligated to tovel it. Right? That's the first case in Sif Ches. But the Yisrael Heter says, Sakin katan shall sofim shechotchim behen klapim asur lechol ben arai im lo tavlan. That if you have you're not allowed to eat even a special knife that's used for cutting cloth, if you use it for food once in a while, you have to tovel it. So according to the Agos Ashri, you don't need to tovel a kli that's not usually used for food, right? I mean, according to the Agos Ashri, it's only when you lend it to somebody when you're only going to once in a while use it for food, it's not going to require tevila. But according to this of a heter lechora, it does require tevila. So in Sivches, right, in Sivches, skipping ahead a little bit, Shulchan Aruch paskins, in Yisrael kanu me'ovid chadim, yishil lechaberu, ton tevila, shekvar nischai b'yad rishon. V'yesh mishomer, shim lo locha rishon, l'tzorach suda, l'achto chlaf, l'mchiyot zibo, ein tzorach la tevila. Meaning like the Agos Ashri, if you buy a knife from a non-Jew, with the intention not to use it for food, and then you lend it to another Jew for his meal, it doesn't require tefillah. And even though Shulchan Aruch says Yesh Misha Omrim after a Stam, the Grun, Sukkot Chaf Aleph and Sukkot Chaf Beis, says that the Stam and the Yesh Misha Omrim are really the same opinion, they're just talking about different cases. Right? And you'll hear it's not the Stam and the Yesh Misha Omrim that are arguing with each other. Right? So Yesh Misha Omrim Shum Lola Charishol Tzorek Suda Elu Lach Tuch Klaf Mechiyot Sebo Ein Tzorek Lad Bilo. That if I bought it just to cut Klafim, then I don't have to tovel it. However, it comes along the Ramah, Aval Rishon Asul Shavim Shol Tzorek Suda Filu Derech Harai below Tevila Afli Sholach Lutzorek Klafim. But the first guy who bought it Lutzorek Klafim and he wants to use it for a Suda, even only occasionally, is going to have to tovel it. Isiv HaHeter. Says the Pri Chadash, Vili Nira Da Azlina Bechli Basarov Tashmisha. V'kal Kli Sheinav Yuchel L'Shayim Shvam Achal Av Shalfam Regilu M'Shayim Shvam Achal Ein Tzarech Tevila. Says the Pri Chadash, like we said before, it all depends on Rov Tashmisha. So if I have a Swiss Army knife that I normally use to cut, I don't know, what do people cut with the Swiss Army? Ropes and things like that. Right, and I don't normally use it to cut food, but I'm in a bind because I'm on a camping trip and I'm the last contestant on Survivor. I don't know when do people use the Swiss Army knife, so I'm going to use it. I want to use it to cut food every once in a while. So it does not require tefillah. We go with the common usage of the kli. So if you have a saw that's used for cutting wood, and it can be used occasionally to cut meat without first toveling it because it was never intended for food. And his raya is from the Shulchan Aruch and Siv Dalet, right? Because the grate doesn't need to be toveled. Obviously, he's talking about a case when you would use it, when you'd occasionally grill bread on it. Because why would anyone think of a grate which never comes in contact with food required to be low? What's the havamina? That's such a great raya. Right? His raya from Siv Dalet, why does the Mechaber have to tell me that if you have a grate on your stovetop, that it does not require tefillah? Of course it doesn't require tefillah. It never comes in contact with the food. Elamai, it sometimes comes in contact with food and still doesn't require tefillah. That must be the Chiddush. I don't know, maybe the Chiddush is that it's still called Klei Suda because it's used to prepare the Suda even though it doesn't come in contact with the food. Well, that's what the Pri Chadash brings us around. The Aruch HaShulchan has like a different Mahalik over here in the Ramah. The Ramah and the Sivata. Again, what did the Ramah and the Sivata say? That the Ramah wrote over here in Sivchas, Aval HaRishon Asul HaShem Shol Tzorek Suda Filu Derech HaRai Below Tevila Afal Bishlach Ful Tzorek Klafim. I bought a knife just to use to cut clapham, to cut ropes, to cut other things. Then on occasion I decide I want to cut food with it. So says the Rama, I need to tovel. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, both Rama and this Veheter hold that we follow the intention of the buyer. If the buyer bought the kli to be used for food, even occasionally, it would require tevil. If he bought it with the intention to never use for food, it doesn't require tevil. Even for now, occasionally he chooses to use it for food. Oh. It's a little bit different. It's not about how it's actually used. It's how you view that kli. If I look at my Swiss Army knife and I say, this is an all-purpose knife. I could use it for everything. I show it off to all my friends. Look, it's got a this, and a this, and a this, and a this. And that blade I could use to cut wood, and I could use to cut bugs, and I could use to cut, bugs is a bad example. I could use to cut this, and that, and I could even slice a cucumber with it. So then that's my intention, even though it's only occasional. So then I would have to tovel it. But if I would never use it for food, I mean, I never thought of using it for food. I was just stuck in a bind once, and we were on a trip, and the kids were screaming in the car, whatever. Okay, so now I had to cut something up for them, so then I quickly took it out. So then it would not require it to be. That's how the Aruch HaShulchan understands that Ramah. And when the Ramah says that if you use the knife for food b'derech harai, it requires tefillah, the words b'derech harai don't mean that you use it occasionally, but it means in small amounts. Meaning you use that kli many times for food, but only in small quantities, then it requires tefillah. But if you use the special klaf knife that's used for cutting klaf to cut food occasionally, then you don't need to tovel it. Or another way to understand the Ramah is to say that the Ramah is referring to someone who buys a kitchen knife from a non-Jew to be used for cutting klaf. And then if he decides to use it for food, he'll need to tovel it because he most likely had in mind to use it for food as well when he bought it. Okay, but bottom line is the Aruch HaShulchan understands this a little bit differently. It's really totally in your das and not on the usage. There's another point in this, going back to starting jumping around a little bit over here. But in Sif Hei, the Ramah adds another point over here. V'chein kisui shekofin ala pasla afoso, avokisa kedeira tzarech tevila. What's the difference? So whatever I cover my bread with in order to bake it doesn't require tevila, but what I cover a kedeira with does require tevila. So if you look at the gra, os tesvav, tahamarak vazeya olu lekisui vavaleki kedeira. The zeya is all going up to the pot cover, so that's like a kedeira itself. Let's see, what does he mean to say? Because the zeya hits it, and there's no zeya on bread? Is that what it's about? So let's say I'm making a lasagna in my toaster oven. Does the whole toaster oven need to be tumbled? Because the zeya is coming from the wet lasagna, and it's hitting it, it's a small little oven. Do you have to tumble the whole toaster oven when you tighten it? Because zeya hits it, that makes it required to heal. No, what are you telling me? Is that what the Gra's saying? Yesh ladin, no? I think it could be, but it could be not. It could be that what he's saying is like when we discussed Zaya, we spoke about how the Kisa Kedera is like, it's the Kli Rishon, it's like the pot itself. Because the Zaya is such a thick steam that comes out of the pot, and you can't make soup or pasta or whatever without a Kisa Kedera. Everything will just evaporate. The Kisa Kedera is critical for the making of the... It's not that it happens to come in contact with the Zeya. It's that it needs to come in contact with the Zeya in order to contain the Zeya. Right? You can make such an argument. That's what gives the Kisa Kedera the status of a Klei Suda. The fact that it happens to hit Zeya... I'm not eating Zeya. I'm eating the food. What do I care that it comes in contact with the Zeya? So the fact that it comes in contact with the Zeya may not be enough to require tefillah, but the fact that it's needed to make the food... It has to contain the zeya in order to make the food. That's what makes. I think that's what the girl is really saying.
And then you should still be machmer on like a toaster oven or something.
Why?
Meaning,
I don't need the cover of the toaster oven. I just it happens to be that there are coils on the top, so I need it to be heated on both sides.
I mean, the same way.
If it was an open top.
The same way the kisuki there is mobile, it would take a lot longer to cook something in a pot which is open than in a pot which is, has a lid on it, but it's mobile.
That
it'll be cooked much more quickly, so the same thing can be true by toaster oven, no?
No.
They make toasters that are
cooked
on top.
Yeah, meaning...
Right, I'm saying, but you could also...
No, there's a containing the heat to make sure that you have a high level of heat and containing the mamashas of the food. Meaning, I won't have soup left if I cook the soup in an open pot.
Okay.
It's interesting as language is, the hamara kuya hazeya olam hakisu. Soup itself is going to be kisu.
Right, but I think that's what he means. I think he means that it's all the zeya becomes such a thick zeya that it has a din of the soup, that it's all the same. Rabbi Reisman said that Rav Tam is machmir that you have to tovel the toaster oven, the whole oven. Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva in the back of Tefillas Kevim, of Sefer Tefillas Kevim, where he says you don't have to, so we're good. But Rav Tam was laughing about this issue, apparently. I don't know, I think the simple reading of the Gra is that you don't have to. What about a regular toaster for bread? So we know, right? You know the famous Ramesha? Ramesha has the... Do people still use those? You know, where they pop, and it pops up with the bread? People still use them? The banks used to, my grandmother, Allah Shalom, used to have a closet full of these things because every time she opened an account in the bank, they used to give them out for free. So she kept it. She tried to give them to us every time. Like, we really have no use for it. But Ramesha held that it does not require tefillah. Why? It comes in direct contact with the food. The food is edible right afterwards. It meets all the criteria to require tefillah. So why wouldn't it require tefillah? So Ramesha has an unusual svara. The Ramesh says, it doesn't do anything. It just dries the bread. So it doesn't do anything to the food. Since it just dries the bread anyway, it's not doesn't require it to be. Such an unusual svara, no? They make a whole... There's a whole industry making toasters. It obviously does something. People prefer toast to bread that's not toasted. It doesn't do anything. So they say, Mipiyashmur, that Ramesh was really mitstaref also, the sheet of the Chalkas Yaakov, that it's mechuber lekarka, because it doesn't work unless it's plugged in. So between those two, even though he only wrote one svara, he really, he wouldn't have said that on its own. I don't know, he didn't write that, and he gives no indication that he gives any credence to the svara of Mechubel Lekarka elsewhere. When he talks about urns, he says you need to tovo an urn, right? Because even though it's Mechubel Lekarka in that sense, although an urn you could argue that it could hold the water even without being Mechubel Lekarka, so maybe that svara doesn't apply by a hot water. What if you have one of those schnitzel hammers? You ever see that? They pound the schnitzel? You know what I'm talking about, yeah? So, you could also mash potatoes with it. But you normally just pound raw chicken with it. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, it does not require it to be eaten. Even though it comes direct contact with food, because the food's not ready for eating afterwards. According to the Ramah, Machlok HaShabtaz, right? The Shach would say, Tovel without a bracha. Well, you can use it for, Taz would also say Tovel without a bracha. They both say Tovel without a bracha. According to the Ramah, you Tovel without a bracha. What if you can't find your schnitzel hammer and you just take your regular hammer and you don't tell anyone? So is it a required tefillah? So, simple reading of the Yisra V'Heter is you'd need to tovel it, but according to the way the Aruch HaShulchan reads it, no, you don't need to tovel it when you bought it. You weren't thinking, when you bought your regular carpenter's hammer, you weren't thinking that you're going to use it for that. What about a peeler? Tovel a peeler? No, based on the Klalim of Jitaina?
Isn't that from a focus about the misperdying by the vegetables? The ones who say that when the Torah says misperdayim, it becomes lachukei the vegetable misperdayim or something, so then you would say it shouldn't need, but I think...
Why shouldn't it need?
Because it's like food preparation as opposed to... I mean, from what Rebbe was saying, you would say if it's eaten raw, then we don't pass on that.
Right.
Yeah.
So l'chara, it should require it to be like that. With the bracha.
With the bracha?
What? Because the food is ready to eat after you peel cucumbers, you peel, right? You peel the foods that you can eat, right? I mean, potatoes you can't eat, but carrots you can, cucumbers you can, and that's meant to peel all those things, I think, right?
People peel cucumbers before they put the salad. Yeah.
Okay.
They only peel the things that go in the chicken soup.
I think people do. Some people just wash the cucumber. I think they say the healthy part is in the skin. But some people don't want the healthy part. They just want the water. And they find it bitter. They find the green peel bitter or whatever. Or it depends on the look you're trying to, sometimes it's all about the presentation. I don't expect you to be sensitive to that. But, there are people that are sensitive. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I think I eat a salad every day, and I think we have peeled cucumbers. Yeah, I think we do. I don't know how they get peeled. I do know, it's Mother's Day. okay, it's not because I'm peeling them. What about a mixer? So if a mixer you're using for frosting and other foods that are immediately ready to be eaten, tevila, with a bracha. But if it's only used for baking, like bread and cake, so it's dealing with dough, so according to the Shulchan Aruch, Lechor does not require tefillah. According to the Ramah, the way the Shach understands also does not require tefillah. And according to the Ramah, the way the Taz understands, tefillah without a bracha. A blender for making kugel. These are the, you gotta, once you have the klalim, you gotta be able to actually answer the shaylos. Right, so you make a potato kugel, and you put the potatoes through, what do they call it? One of those machines that, you know what it does, right? Yeah, well, it's just right, I think you stick in the soup, right? That's different, we'll get to that.
A food processor.
The blades of the food processor. KitchenAid. Is that? No, the KitchenAid is not the food processor. That's the other thing. Oh, gosh, if a woman is going to listen to this, they're just be rolling their eyes for an hour straight. So the food processor, the blades of the food processor. No, what are you tying now? You only use it for your potato kugel.
I think most women don't only use it for the potato kugel.
Ah, what else do you use it for?
Pesto.
What?
Everything. Making sauces, making
Ah, so if you use it to make sauces, then the sauce is edible right afterwards, so there's no shayla. What if you only use it for potato cooking? This is your potato cooking machine. There are blades that people only use for the potato cooking. Oh, right? Sometimes they do use the other blades for other things, but the potato cooking, this blade is, you know, I've heard such conversations. So if you only use it, if you only use it for the potato cooking, what are you tying it? So according to the Mechaber, what? No tefillah. According to the Ramah, is it? Because can you use it for anything else? You can, right? So the Shach would say, since you can use it for something else, tefillah below bracha, and so would the Taz, right? So Sana Chosasha, they would both say tefillah below bracha, l'chora. Dentures. What are you talking about? Dentures. Direct contact with the food. Food is ready to eat right after you use it. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, they don't require tefillah. He says, that it's going to be clay suda.
Why not?
Where's
that spark from?
I think what he really means is that it's not a kli. Meaning, is it a violation of tochein on Shabbos? When you chew with your dentures? That's derech achila.
That's not. What does that have to do with whether or not it's a kli? You're saying your body isn't a kli, but you can still violate tochen even if you're not. You can.
Meaning, what makes it derech achila? Because it's part of your body, so it's just achila. And once it's part of your body, it's not a kli. I think. I don't think people tell all their dentures. They say the Chutzani says that they're batel to the guf, which makes a lot of sense. In the Tshuvas Shevet HaKahasi, Chelik Vavsin Reis Adi Aleph. He says anything that's worn is not considered a kli, just like the Mishnah in the Gaim, in the 13th paragraph in the Gaim, somebody goes into a bayis hamenuga carrying kelim, the kelim are immediately tame, but if he goes in wearing the kelim, then they're batel to him. So then they're considered part of the person, right? I mean, in terms of nafkaminas, how long they're in the bayis before they become tame. Right? That's that's one of the shiurim that you have in the pasuk, the Mishnah Saminim.
Glasses to mix
that. Oh, that's a shayla, right? It's the yeshivish mixing the coffee. So when you bought the glasses, were you thinking those arms aren't good enough? They're not going to mix the coffee well. You know, it's like too wide. It's not going to fit into my coffee mug. So if you don't think like that, you're just buying glasses, and then mainly you happen to use it later to mix the coffee. So, right? That's how the Aruch HaShulchan read. That when you're that's how the Aruch HaShulchan read the Ramah. When your intention in buying it was not, you didn't even have a Havamina. You weren't so yeshivish yet. Then, you know, even if on occasion later you use it for that. It's a good question. Okay. Let's see. All right, I won't get into it today. Storage kelim for tomorrow, Beis Hashem. And also, we have to sieve up, right? What if you have kelim that are made out of different pieces? Metal and wood and things like that. So we'll have to see and sieve up. Okay, so Beis Hashem, we'll go back to it tomorrow. There's a lot here. Okay, have a great day, everybody.